Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And whose shoulder is that I can see in the webcam, Matt?
Okay, you can't... People in the podcast aren't going to hear the see the shoulder thing, so...
And I'm Jess Jones.
Jess Jones, you might remember from some infamous podcast that we've done. She's an expert, a self-proclaimed expert on both Harry Potter and The Hunger Games.
Making a third appearance, and her first appearance as an engaged woman. So congratulations, Jess. We tried calling you on the podcast when you got engaged, but you didn't answer your phone.
Perhaps inspired by The Hunger Games, Jess too wanted to get engaged. We'll ask her about that perhaps later in the podcast, how Hunger Games themed her wedding is going to be. Do you have a Mockingjay dress plan, Jess?
Oh.
Halfway through the wedding, I will turn into a flaming bird. It'll be great.
Am I invited? I want to see that.
We'll Skype you in.
Oh, he's got the Skype invite. He'll be in Australia for the wedding, Jess.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, I'll put that in my Google Calendar.
You could be my plus one, Jonathan.
So we're going to be talking about The Hunger Games, the second film. I don't know, it has a name. What's the name of it?
All Stars. It's Hunger Games All Stars.
I think it's The Dark Hunger Games. You can't have a sequel without it being it's The Dark Knight, Thor: The Dark World. Is this like Hunger Games: The Darkness?
Yeah, Prisoner of Azkaban or something like that. What is it, Jess? Fill us in. You've read the books. You must know what it's called.
I believe it's Catching Fire.
Catching Fire.
Well, the world is catching fire, talking about Hunger Games. What's the buzz where you guys are for Hunger Games?
Oh, it's mental. It's absolutely mental. Everyone's getting into it. Me and Jess went to see a midnight screening of The Hunger Games with some of her friends. Oh, I forgot to add them on Facebook. Oh, well. And there was a bit of a packed crowd. A bit more, I think this time it was a bit more mixed, the sort of genders and ages that had come out at midnight to see the film. So it's, I think, becoming a bit broader appeal.
Yeah, The Hunger Games is catching on. I didn't see any midnight premieres, but the first one I remember, there was a lot of 15-year-old girls in the cinema. Not complaining.
Really?
But this time, a much, broader mix of ages and genders.
Are more people at the library, Jess? Because as everyone knows, Jess works at a library. Are more people borrowing the Hunger Games books now at the library?
Yeah, they've definitely gone up again in popularity.
Are you seeing more different age groups renting these books?
Not that particularly that I've noticed, but maybe the parents pretending it's for their kids.
Okay.
Sometimes we do little themed bits relating to the topic of the podcast. This week, I've decided to make myself a sandwich in honor of the Hunger Games. I'm now going to flip that over in the toaster.
Do you actually do a theme thing? Or this?
No, this is the first I've ever heard of this theme thing.
I'm hungry.
Katniss in the film just wouldn't stop going on about guacamole and salsa con queso. So
he's a game maker and he's torturing us with food that he gets to eat and we don't.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Making our sandwiches for everyone, Jonathan.
Yeah. Not waving in front of the camera.
I'll email you a copy.
Okay. So, Jonathan, you'd given Hunger Games something like a 5.5 for the last film, so it wasn't your favourite movie of last year.
I was expecting it to be sort of Harry Potter-esque, and I liked it a bit more than that, but it wasn't entirely my thing. It was watchable, but it didn't love it. So that's kind of the bar. 5.5 out of 10, that's what Catching Fire is trying to beat.
Yeah, and so you're sort of expecting it to get sort of similar?
I haven't read the books. So I don't really know much about it. So I didn't know if this was supposed to be better or worse than the last one. So that's the par for it to beat.
I was with Hunger Games Catching Fire although the first one I didn't love, I think I preferred it to you. I got really excited for this movie. I got really pumped. I was like, I was very pumped. I was like, oh man, we got to see. Oh, they're going back into the all-star Hunger Games. They're going to get like the best of the best all compete. I was making bets with people in the cinema over who would win. My money was on Katniss. Like, it was, so, you know, I was very pumped to see how this would play out. And, you know, just like Survivor, all-star seasons tend to bring it. So I was very pumped to see how this would play out. Jess, as someone who because me and John hadn't read the books, okay, what was your expectation for the second movie as someone who had read the book? Were you more excited, you know, it only gets better, or were you sort of...
In terms of the plot, like, yeah, I was excited because, like, obviously we're talking about it takes a bit of a different turn by the end. I think I was actually more excited as a result of the trailers. I think the trailers, I was like, oh, this actually could be quite good. And, like, Philip Seymour Hoffman coming in, the supporting cast. So, yeah, I was excited because I had a few issues with the first one. So,
So let's now we – obviously everyone in the world has already seen The Hunger Games, I would imagine. It's such a popular movie. Yeah, and I'm sure even people who haven't seen it have heard a lot about it. Everyone's talking about it at the water coolers. So let's talk spoilers when reviewing this film. I think that's reasonable. Jonathan, I'm assuming you agree since we talked about this before the podcast.
I'm not a Democrat. I haven't flip-flopped on my stance in between now and then.
Well, that's
I don't really want to be a Republican either.
Romney's a flip-flopper in 2012.
Yeah. Don't want to be a politician on either side of the fence.
Yeah.
Or on the fence.
So we've got to give our infamous cross-continental spoiler alert just in case there's someone who doesn't want to be spoiled about The Hunger Games.
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert! There's going to be spoilers now. Yes. Spoiler City is where we are. The capital of spoilers. As we've sort of alluded to, the premise for Hunger Games All-Stars is that pretty much they've decided, let's get the best Hunger Games competitors back for another season for them to duke it out and see who is the best of the best Hunger Games player.
The premise. It's that they want to kill them all.
Well, that's what the game is. So one of them won't die, and there'll be the best of the best Hunger Games player. And
Do you reckon they wouldn't have just killed them all? Do you reckon they would have had a winner?
I think if someone won, they win. Yeah, I think.
And the Hunger Games, as opposed to like Survivor, you're going to be getting the best of the best because only the best are left.
Yes.
Anyone that didn't win the Hunger Games is dead. They're not an option. They're not eligible for Hunger Games All-Stars.
Yeah, they can't be like that. Yeah, that's a very good point. They can't be like, oh, that person wasn't very good, but they were good TV, so we'll put them back on. They're stuck with people who were good enough to win the game. An all-winners season of the Hunger Games. But I guess there's a bit of a journey before we get to the Hunger Games. And it starts with Katniss and Peter, or whatever they pronounce his name.
Peter Bread.
Peter, yeah, like the Peter Bread, yeah. So Peter, they are still sort of a bit of the belle of the ball. Everyone loves them because they won the most recent Hunger Games, and they had a pretty compelling romance and love story. The people just lapped it up. They're very excited. The first time you'd ever had two winners from a season as well. Some could argue a bit of a cop-out. It was a tie, but some could argue it was a cop-out being a tie, but the fans seem to like it nevertheless. And the Capitals decided, let's get them on a road tour. Let's pack them up, send them around from city to city, district to district. The Katniss and Peter tour of love around about the place. Yeah. And so what do you think about the setup for this tour, Jonathan, and how do you think they executed that?
Well, I love celebrities. I love talking celebrity encounters in housekeeping. I think in Hunger Games, Katniss and Peter, they're They're A-listers. Matt would not be dubious in his celebrity's screen verdict rating. They're A-listers for sure. So I kind of like that how they were sort of used as a political tool. You know, they weren't happy doing this. Their relationships are a fraud. And I think in this film you got to focus a little bit more on the political and social dynamic of the world in the film. And I think in the first one, if they'd have done that, you'd be like, oh, this is boring. I just want to get to the games. But because we've already seen a games, you don't just want to have another 2 hours of Hunger Games. You want more. So I think that they elaborated that more, worked quite well in the film.
Jess?
Yeah.
Interesting thing I say, I'm going to give myself a bite of my sandwich.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I think they do that every Hunger Games, but obviously there's a lot more riding on this particular tour of the president. And yeah, they use them kind of to try and assuage or sway the districts or whatever.
I'm sorry. I feel like I shouldn't have toasted my sandwich. It's going to be a lot louder on the podcast.
Oh, man. I hope I'm getting forgiven for all those Subway cookie podcasts, Jonathan.
I'm going to just lean away from the computer when I eat.
Okay. Sorry, Jess, for that rude sandwich.
And I think also just the tour allows for some good moments between all the characters, which you perhaps didn't quite get as much in the first movie. Developing the relationships, I think, with Hamish and Katniss and Peter and Katniss, and not so much on the tour, but with Gale as well, back at the district.
Mm. Now, Donald Sutherland does have a word to Katniss before she goes on the tour. Everyone talks to Katniss. This Peter guy, everyone realizes, is just getting dragged along for the ride. So, look. I know it was a lie that you love this Peter. Goes, oh, no. And you, no. Cut the crap. We know, like, come on. Like, I'm not an idiot like everyone else in the world. So he says, you need to sell this to the people. I need to be able to tell you guys are in love, even if you're not, or we're going to war, is pretty much what he said. Katniss and Peter bugger it up. At the very first district, they say something emotional about Rue, which I actually quite enjoyed them acknowledging that, because we all like Rue from the first movie, a good nod to her. Everyone raises their fingers. The police go insane. That apparently this is the one. If you want to like annoy the police in this movie, put your fingers up. Like they just.
What does that mean, Jess? I feel like that was maybe something they explained in the first movie, but I forgot. What does the three fingers up mean?
It's like a traditional kind of greeting thing of the district 12. So it's quite a big thing when other districts are doing it to acknowledge them, I think.
Oh, so they're like, we love district 12. They want the districts not to like each other.
Yeah, in the first one, they do it out of respect for Katniss volunteering for a sister, and then I think it kind of spread everywhere.
Okay, yeah, there we go. District 12.
Are they not very good at counting? Should they have found like a friend? Like I'll do six, you do six.
Maybe make the fingers look like a 12. I don't know. Yeah, it's very or like a one, and then like a gap with a finger, and then a two fingers. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we've solved it. Because God knows what like District 3's salute is. So then they realize, oh no, this has gotten out of hand. We're not going to look in love. We've just annoyed Donald Sutherland to up the wazoo. So Katniss comes up with a game-changing move. Let's get married. Let's get married. There's a proposal. What do you think of this development, Jonathan?
That was probably the least enthusiastic yes to a proposal I've ever seen. Especially seeing as Peter would probably want to actually marry Katniss. The fact that she asked or suggested that they get married, but he knows that it isn't real, made him look extremely disappointed. I felt very sorry for Peter. I actually like Peter in this, even though I'm talking about a scene in which he's kind of whingy. I felt like he was a bit more relatable or interesting in this film. I think I found him just a bit whingy and boring in the first one. But I was rooting for him a bit more. So even though it was fake, I was kind of like, yeah, go get married, Katniss and Peter.
Yeah, what do you think about their proposal, Jess? Or their engagement to someone who is engaged themselves?
Yeah, it's kind of a last-ditch effort, really, and it's probably a bit desperate. I think it goes on for a bit longer, like their dress competitions and stuff in the book, so they cut it probably a bit short. And yeah, obviously Peter's a bit sad because he actually likes her, but, you know, it's just a political point. But, I kind of see what they're doing. But, I got to say, they acted so terribly when they start the tour that no one who would buy that they're in love. Like in that snow scene, they look so terrible.
Yeah, but like it looks like people are pretty... Are people observing a lot of love around them? Like we've got so many romantic comedies and stuff that we have a pretty good eye for convincing romantic relationships. But maybe people aren't exposed to that in this sort of weird world. Here's the thing I thought. Peter, I think this was a good spot for him to be in. I think he should have been a little more happy. I guess he has to look a bit upset, like otherwise Katniss, he looks a bit too clingy. But I think it's actually good for him because, like, if they're going to have to do these tours all the time and sort of have this fake marriage where they live together and things like that, he's not an awful guy. Like, she'll eventually learn to love him, right? Like, she'll have to see less of this other guy. He'll get out of the picture. She'll forget about him after a while, and it will move on. Like, I actually think Peter was in a good spot here. I think that eventually she probably would have fallen in love with him, right?
Is he sort of hoping for the equivalent of the on-set romance to kick in? You know, if you play two lovers in a film, if you're together on set and off-set with each other long enough, well, you eventually start to form a real bond. So they're having to pretend for all this time that they're engaged or married. He's hoping that that'll just sort of morph into reality somehow over time.
Yeah, well, I think it's like if you were stranded on a desert island with a girl, right? Like, you know, if you're stuck there for, like, 5 or 10 years, like, you'll probably, like, even though you may have hated them when you first landed on the island, you'll learn to love them, right?
I see your reasoning, but he's just sad because that's not it, because he genuinely likes her. That's not how he wanted it to happen. It's not very nice to have someone forced to marry you out of fear for their life / trying to do what some president wants him to do.
Mm. Take it from me, Peter. Take what you can get.
He gets behind it, and he probably would have, but he just needs a moment to be like, I'm a little bit sad about this.
No, fair enough, but...
The only reason why Katniss doesn't feel that way completely is because of Gale. Now,
I would agree with that, yes. Yeah.
When I saw the film, the first film, all the girls in the audience clapped and went crazy when Gale came on screen. And I was like, okay, he's a cool, popular character. He's one of the main guys. He had two scenes. He was in the film for like 5 minutes. I was like, okay, maybe becomes more important later on. This film, he maybe has 4 scenes. He's in it a little bit more. But I thought this was a classic, you know, tale for the ages, on the level of an Edward and Jacob and Bella love triangle. This isn't a love triangle. This is Peter and Katniss. And there's some mopey poor dude called Gale that just pops in for 10 minutes out of a 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah, no, I
Jess,
yeah.
Jess, why do we care about Gale? You've read the books. Why is he even a factor? Why is he getting in the way of Peter and Katniss?
I agree. She clearly feels stronger for Peter, but I think she takes a while to come to that. I think Gale, so when she was really poor and she was pretty much starving, and then she starts to learn to hunt, she meets Gale and they kind of come to rely on each other and they help each other out and help their families out. And so, like, Peter was just kind of this distant person who she knew but, like, hadn't had much interaction with, whereas Gale was the person she's always with, and it's kind of a, like, there was an age gap, but they're kind of suddenly at that age where it's like, oh, do I, don't I, like, and he develops feelings for her. And I don't know. I think she does feel something for him, but
this is definitely an argument for the spending time with each other rule. You're saying, oh, they hunted together, they formed a bond. It seems like she's been spending more time with Peter, that bond is going to take over.
Well, yeah, and they go through something that's life-changing to get, like, you can't break that bond once that's there. And she has this weird thing about Peter in the back of her mind from when he, like, gave her food.
Yeah, no, and I was about to say, you said, like, back when, like, she was poor and stuff, about, like, Gal helped her out, Peter's, like, giving her bread and things.
Yeah, which is why in the end I think her and Gal have more of a mutual, I don't know, kind of respect and, like, I don't know, they're very...
I think Katniss still likes Gale, though, until later in this movie. I still think she doesn't really get that she likes Peter. I feel like she just views him as... Well, she doesn't even think he's a friend earlier on in the movie. And then, like, he's like, oh, let's be friends. And she's like, oh, what's a friend?
She's very standoffish.
Yeah, she's very standoffish. I think she's someone who doesn't know what's right for her. She just likes the hot Gale guy with dark hair and...
Well, and Gail's pretty much her friend. There's a character they cut out who's her other friend that they cut her out. But she's very, like, she doesn't have friends. She's very standoffish. So Gail's kind of the only person she's kind of let into her world.
Mm. Yeah, let's. I hope we don't see Gail in the third movie. I think that's, we've seen enough of Gail. So
I feel like we're going to see Gail more.
But I've got to say, I think they... put Gale in a bit more, which made it make more sense as to why he was there. Whereas in the first movie, like you said, he was there for 2 seconds and you're like, who is this guy? Whereas they developed the characters a lot better at the beginning, I thought.
Mm-hmm. So there's apparently a new guy on the scene. They killed the guy who ran the games last year because of his big, like, stuff up of, like, letting Katniss and Peter, like, run the game. So they killed him, fair enough, gave him the poison berries. Now we've got Philip Seymour Hoffman in running the show. I thought he was great, and he had this great sort of a thing of, like, the moves that he's making, and they made the move. He decided, let's just get them flaunting their elaborate, lovely wedding. Everyone's going to be jealous of them, and they won't be relatable. The people won't be able to relate to them anymore. That's a pretty interesting strategy.
Yeah, Katniss has become this sort of symbol or beacon of hope for the poorer districts. And there's talk of a revolution, and the people in power are trying to stop this. And so in order to stop that, they need to tear down that symbol, and they're trying to tear down Katniss. So what they try and do is make her seem above everybody else, like she's too good, which... seems like a logical plan, but I don't know. It didn't seem like you're going to be able to get one over on Katniss too easily.
Well, then they sent that douchey guy to her district, who then, like, almost killed Gale, and then she tried to save Gale, and they accidentally televised that. Standing up to the authorities. Like, I don't know what happened there. Like, but then they had to just completely change their plan.
Yeah, that only helped her iconic status. And, how did that guy not know who she was?
Yeah, that didn't make any sense to me. Jess, do the books shed any light on this?
It plays out a little differently. I don't think they talk about it being televised, but that guy comes in. But, and for some reason he doesn't quite, Hamish has to remind him, I think. I don't really know how you wouldn't recognize her. And then they play the whole Gale is her cousin card. That's why she's protecting him, I think. But I actually really love that whole, apart from maybe the flaws of it, like just that whole the coming to the district and really putting them under the thumb. I really enjoyed that. So I was glad that stayed in.
I actually think coming to District 12 and treating them like gods would have been the better move for the thing. And even make the whole District 12 unrelatable to the other district. Make District 11 resent District 12. Well, then just would have meant they stopped doing that finger thing they don't like.
It's your only problem.
Yeah, get rid of that stupid District 12 finger salute that the police hate.
Is that just sort of passing the buck, though? I mean, Like, District 12 already resents District 1. If you make District 11 resent District 12, are they just going to become the new District 12 and then they will be the ones starting the revolution?
If District 11 can win the Hunger Games, then maybe they can be a District 12. But, okay, so we've got, so then the counterplan from Philip Seymour Hoffman is, well, we've got to do another Hunger Games and we've got to get Katniss and Peter back and we've got to have them die. That will solve the plan.
They think that other winners could start to think that they have that much power. So they want to kill lots of the winners because if you have put 24 people in the Hunger Games, only one is supposed to survive. And I think through the Hunger Games, they attempt to manipulate it so that Katniss gets further and further into the games, but is then forced to betray her allies. And so once she is shown to be sort of ruthless and someone that isn't loyal and will commit that betrayal, that sort of tears down the symbolism of Katniss, and then they can kill her off, and that will hopefully subdue the revolution.
Mm. A pretty big move. And it's really setting the stage for a great season of television for the Hunger Games, because this is got me pretty excited when they were bringing back all the people.
And what's cool is in the pre-game stuff, they all watch all the victors' videotapes, and so you get to see how Haymitch actually won his games and stuff like that, which is cool.
Cool.
We didn't actually get introduced to, I think it's 24 people, right? 24 people are in the Hunger Games. They only ran through about half of them. Yeah. I think they just said, here are some of the cool guys from some other districts that won. They'll probably be your allies. And here's a couple of the generic bad guys from districts 1 and 2. And then there was a bunch of filler people that just got killed off on the first day of the Hunger Games.
Yeah. Now, Haymitch told them this time, guys, you need to build alliances for this Hunger Games. Peter was on board with this. Katniss was not at all. What did we think the right strategy is going into the Hunger Games? Alliance or not alliance?
I think an alliance is the way to go. In terms of who you should pick, in terms of picking alliances, I think it was quite obvious who you should go with. You know, when I saw Jeffrey Wright was in it, I thought, well, he's a bit of a celebrity. He'll probably make it quite far into the Hunger Games. He's probably not going to die on the first day, so he's a fairly safe bet. The good-looking blonde guy, he was in the trailers. He'll probably also survive quite a while. He's probably a strong ally. So, yeah, I think they played it pretty smart.
Yeah, I can kind of see where Katniss goes, because I think I would end up like her. I'm not very strategic, so I'd pick the people I kind of appreciated more than the people that I actually necessarily thought would win. So I understand what she does, but at first it probably looks a bit strange who she's picking. But she picks some of the smarter people, or they pick her more than she picks them, I think, in the end. And they, in the end, it turns out they have an ulterior motive, I suppose. Mm. I think my initial reaction would be don't have alliances, but I think in longevity it's probably good to have them for at least some of the games.
I think if I were in the Hunger Games, I would just hide.
Yeah.
I think I'll at the start, all the people fighting and you trust these people, I would just run. I would run and hide. Though then they manipulate the game, though, to force you out of hiding with smoke or big wolf-looking things or whatever. But
blood waves.
It's like 16 people died in the first 2 days or something. You don't have to survive that long to at least make it down to the final few.
Mm. I think building up strong relationships and things is helpful, though, in the games. And it's quite interesting to see Katniss forge some of those relationships. Even though she didn't want to commit to an alliance, she still had built up some ties with people in that, and I think that was important. And obviously she's got her buddy Peter, who is also there building up actual alliances. So it's quite a good team, actually. Anything else in the pre-game section we want to talk about?
I enjoyed some of the other characters. I thought Elizabeth Banks was quite funny in her ridiculous outfits and trying to talk everyone up as a team. Lenny Kravitz doesn't do that much, but I like the dress he makes. That's a good scene with the dress. She spins around and it turns on fire. And is it Stanley Tucci, the host? Yes. He is hilarious.
I liked him
in the first film. He stepped it up, even funnier. Yeah. Just so out there. Just really goes for it. Really has fun with that character.
His reaction to the proposal is so good.
And the announcement of the baby as well. That was a good scene.
That was a good move. That was a ballsy move. Oh, it didn't pay off, but that was pretty cool.
Good effort.
So, yeah, no, that was very good. Okay. We've had a lot of time of alliances, getting to meet various people, anticipation at an all-time high for these Hunger Games. I can only imagine how excited the people in Districts 12 through 1 were when these games were about to kick off. And so the thing rises. Also, great move by Philip Seymour Hoffman again, getting Lenny Kravitz murdered right in front of Katniss right before she goes up, just to finally ruffle her feathers just that one bit more. It goes up, and oh man, surrounded by water and nowhere near Peter, can't even see where Peter is, the games are on.
That was shot really well, that scene. You got the sense of the movement coming up, the anticipation of where she was going to be, the disorientation of the lights, and then you're just in this grand arena where you were, didn't really have any time to process it because it was like, and 5, 4, 3. That was really tense. When the game started, I was there. I was ready for the Hunger Games.
Now, last season, we saw Katniss use the strategy of as soon as that goes, just run the opposite direction, avoid the bloodbath. This season, she went with the exact opposite approach of running straight for those bows and arrows in the middle.
Yeah. Were there bow and arrows last time, or was it...
Yeah, definitely. They were trying to goat Katniss like nothing else last time.
Not all the districts can necessarily swim. Mm. Like, she had that lake. They have her at the lake at the beginning, but in the book, that's her private place, so she's one of the few people who's not to swim. So she's probably a bit more confident. She sees them. She knows that she can run and then dive and swim away pretty quick. So I think she just takes a bit. And
so this is great, great field report, Jess. So she saw the new environment and adapted her strategy to that environment that they gave her to great success. So that was a very good job by Katniss, out of the gate, very strong in these Hunger Games. I had a feeling at that point she might last a while in these. So
if she's someone who just like cut her head off and then it turned into Peter's story, like the rest of the Hunger Games is from Peter's perspective, that would have been sick.
That would have been very interesting. So anyway, it turns out someone's about to kill her, but it turns out Lucky Peter, has formed an alliance, the people that can help out Katniss, and they then sort of escape into the woods with their new alliance. I can't remember the guy's name. Jess?
Finnick.
Finnick. Finnick and old lady. Katniss and Peter.
It turns out he's wearing the gold band.
Hmm.
That was meant to be Jess.
Yes.
Kind of makes me wonder what would happen if George R. R. Martin wrote The Hunger Games. How it would play differently.
That would be good. That would be very good.
If there are any sequels, spin-offs, I think we need a Hunger Games / Game of Thrones crossover.
That would be very cool to see the Game of Thrones characters in Hunger Games.
Hunger Games in King's Landing.
Oh, I like it. So anyway, they're in the woods for a bit. Then they play their little trick of poisonous gas. Right, and they run away. Old lady dies. Then they get attacked by baboons. There's some camouflage girl jumps out and protects Katniss. Then they go to the beach and meet up with Jeffrey Wright. What do we think of all that sort of stuff?
I wasn't loving this. I thought the bit where he hits the force field was a bit silly. I did like that as soon as he's revived by the CPR from Finnick, he has a one-liner ready to go. Because Peter's not really that funny in the films, and so for him to have nearly died, he's like, "There's a force field over there." It was quite amusing.
I also think Katniss is hugging him. He's like, "Oh," she's like, "Your heart stopped," and he's like, "Oh, it's working again now."
So he's obviously done a bit of preparation. I'm on TV. I need some good lines so I get the airtime, right? Like, he's clearly had a bit of maybe coaching in media management and you
know. I think he's more self-assured in this game.
Peter, I'm going to call it Peter. I was very critical of Peter's game in Hunger Games 1.0. I was in the 74th Hunger Games. I thought that it was a weak game. He relied on Katniss too much. He had too much self-doubt. He didn't make the big moves that needed to be made. This games, he came ready to play. He was ready to make alliances. He was ready to do stuff to protect Katniss. He was ready to take sort of his own fate in his hands more, not just rely on his painting his face like a rock. Like, he really, I think, came ready to play these games. And Peter really impressed me.
You have to admit, though, he is pretty good at painting. He did look quite like a rock.
Yeah, yes.
And that picture of Rue that he did in 10 minutes was quite telling.
Yeah, very good. So we've got...
Then we had the smoke. When the smoke was coming and Katniss went to put her hand in the smoke, I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Don't touch the smoke. It's not just, look at that. There just happens to be some mist rolling over. Isn't that kind of, I'll just waft it. It's poisonous. I didn't see that coming. I found that a bit silly. And then I found them running away from it is kind of tense or whatever. But then when they have the boils on them or whatever, and they're just screaming in the water for like 3 minutes. I got annoyed of pain sounds and screaming sounds. It was too long.
To be fair, as much as I was impressed by Peter, I think Katniss wasn't quite as good as she was in the first games. I think the first game she utilized her archery skills better and actually stepped up to the plate a bit more. I think this game she relied too much on her alliance and didn't take enough of a leadership role. That being said, she still did really well and understood the mind games. I found all these baboons and smoke and stuff. I want to watch kids killing kids in the Hunger Games. I don't want to watch people running away from smoke and people fighting baboons. I want to see the people fighting each other. And I think that was a bit of a weakness. I was waiting for the people killing each other bit. On the beach, they figure out this clock thing. The whole Hunger Games board is like a clock. And each hour something happens in a different part of the island. And then, I don't know, at midnight, the tree gets struck by lightning. Okay?
I was a bit disappointed.
You like this? I liked it, but I didn't like that they spoke so loudly about how they'd cracked the Hunger Games formula. And go, now we know how to get around all the stuff that's happening. Because you for sure knew that Philip Seymour Hoffman and crew. Like, it's not like we've seen in the Hunger Games they stick very strictly to the rules and they're not prepared to mix things up mid-games.
Yeah, if you say, I know how you're manipulating the game, well, then they're just going to change how they manipulate the game.
Yeah. So I didn't get that, why they were saying so loudly. Yeah, Jess, what do you think of the clock thing?
I think it's kind of a cool concept. But, yeah, as soon as they start to realize, obviously, they spin the wheel on them to confuse them. But yeah, I think it's quite a fun, like, and kind of just means they're always having to be on the move and always kind of in fear of what's coming next.
Mm. And the good thing on the clock too is we actually got some of the bad kids or some of the people from the districts 1, 2, and 3 rock up, and we actually got a bit of a showdown. We actually got some fighting and some deaths.
I guess something that's a bit different in this one is that there are a lot of people helping Katniss, and not because they necessarily want to or think that's the best thing to do, but that's because what the people have organized. I don't know how, where they said, oh, we're going to kill your families unless you sacrifice yourself for Katniss or help keep Katniss alive. But you have that camouflage lady just dive out of nowhere to help them from the baboons, and you have the crazy axe lady. Don't you reckon she looks like a mental version of Kristen Stewart?
Yeah.
What I find more interesting about that is that they also really, Finnick keeps saving Peter for Katniss. Like, I think that's really interesting, is that knowing that she will need him, so he keeps saving him even over his own, like, ally.
I wasn't sure what Finnick's deal was, because I thought these other people, yeah, they're probably not going to win. They probably don't have much to lose. They've been forced help. But him, he looks like he could have won. Like, he looked like a serious contender. He didn't necessarily need to be helping Katniss. So I wondered whether he was just a good guy. What was his motivation? Why did he get the bracelet or whatever from Haymitch?
Well, basically, I think they chose people that were sympathetic to the, like, rebellion. And so the game for most of those people isn't about winning the games. It was that they've got to keep Katniss alive for the rebellion and they're going to get her out of the games. Like, it's a completely different attitude towards the games. It wasn't about winning. It was about keeping Katniss alive.
So why was Finnick sympathetic towards the revolution? What district was he from? Isn't he rich? They made him look like a douchebag the first time they introduced
him. He's from, like, I can't remember the, I don't know if it's District 4. Oh, no, maybe not District 4. He's, like, from the sea one where they, like, fish, and in their books they use, like, a symbol from his district to let them know that the time was coming. So there was a bit more indication in the other one that they were, like, communicating through sending stuff through the parachutes with the alliance, letting them know when they should do the lightning thing. But I think he's got the girl back in his district who is another victor who he loves, who is his love, and then she went into the Hunger Games and then has come back completely wrecked by it. So I suppose he's got a very personal motivation to see the capital gone, and he, I think, as much as Katniss kind of wants to see Snow gone as well.
Okay.
We didn't really get that in the film.
District 5, I'm thinking for District 5. I haven't read the books, but it's just the number that's just landing with me.
I think he's also comes a lot in season three, in book three. Him and Katniss kind of have a bit more of a kind of a bond, and like they talk about. So you might see that more in there. I also
he was
like
professing his love on stage. I thought that was so phony. I didn't think that was real. But you're telling me
a funny element to it, because in the books that I think he plays on, they say he basically sleeps around with people to get their secrets. Is his reputation. We don't necessarily know that was true, but that was his reputation. I also like that because he's very skeptical. He doesn't think that Katniss loves Peter, but then when you have that moment with the force field, he kind of looks at her and realizes that actually she kind of does care for him.
Katniss and Peter do kiss on the beach. And I think Katniss was into him. I think Katniss has been turned.
There was this bit of a weird thing where before the games, Katniss is like, no matter what, we got to keep Peter alive. And I was like, why? Like, I mean, you like Peter. You like him as a friend, I guess, but he's not exactly important to, like, doing anything. It's not like he has people. Really? Like, surely there'd be some level of self-preservation. You don't love Peter that much at this point to want to keep him alive. Or maybe she does.
Katniss has to be the hero. Katniss has to be the selfless hero. She has to be the leader. Looking out for a friend.
Like, if all three of us were on the Hunger Games, I would ally with you. I would try and get you to the end, but I mean, if only one of us could survive. I'm not saying no matter what, we gotta save Matt. The Scream Verdict listeners need Matt to survive. Like, the moment you turn, there is a rock striking the back of your head as hard as I can throw a rock.
I think as well as her motivation for that, she also knows Snow is pretty much determined to kill her. Like, so I think she changes her priority. Life goals, because I don't think she thinks she'll get out of it ever.
Yeah, and look, I don't know when it happened, but I think the kiss on the beach, she's now loves Peter. This theory that, like, just stay married for him for 5 years, she'll probably fall in love with him. It happened in, like, a couple of days on the Hunger Games.
She says she needs to keep him alive, and he goes, oh, nobody needs me. And then she says, I need you, and they kiss. And I think that was the first time where either Katniss realized she was in love with Peter, or that she just showed that she loved Peter. I thought that was real.
I think that was real. I think maybe that's when she fell in love with Peter.
Mm.
Jess, comment, but you've read the third book. So it is hard for you to comment.
I agree. I think it's the first moment where you're pretty sure that it's real in the movies. Like, I think it's not a forced. I don't think it's at all for the production. And yeah, I think it's just a real moment. I enjoyed that. Like, it's a real moment between the two of them. Like, and I think she's kind of, it's all just now she wants to just make him survive. And yeah, she lets her guard down.
I think it was for the production, they would have been kissing more. Like it's just all of a sudden, like on day three, they have a kiss on the beach. Like, that's not enough of a ruse. So I think they've been so unconvincing before then.
Do you think anybody is watching this and why have they not kissed or anything over the first few days? I thought they were together.
Yeah. Well, this was a question I had. Is anyone watching this season of The Hunger Games? It seems like half the districts are in rebellion. We didn't see any, like, the first movie cutaway shots, like, to the Hunger Game, to people watching The Hunger Games. Like, I remember last time whenever stuff happened, we, you know, cut to Gale having a bit of a cry. We cut to District 11 doing their finger thing. We cut to, like, you know, all these people watching The Hunger Games. This time we didn't see any shots of people watching The Hunger Games. Is everyone watching The Voice or Modern Family or something instead? Or are people just too caught up in the, like, all these mean policemen that have just rocked up to their districts? Like, that are maybe not, maybe these policemen that have rocked up don't know what The Hunger Games is. The guy didn't even recognize Katniss and aren't letting people watch TV.
Even 50 years in the future, reality TV isn't as profitable as Friends reruns.
Yeah, yes. So I don't know what's going on there, and it is weird since this is a whole propaganda tool. And we don't even know who's watching it. But anyway, so there's a plan that Jeffrey Wright has. Let's go to the tree. Let's put a wire to it. Let's put it into the ocean. A wave will come. The bad guys will come to the beach and they'll get electrocuted. Zap.
Yeah.
Bam. Good plan. I like it. Good plan. Katniss is on board. Peter's on board. Although Katniss, in interesting movie, says to Peter, we've got to get away before this happens because we don't want to be there when we have to turn on one another. Okay?
Mm. Yeah.
Pretty interesting. This is quite interesting considering Philip Seymour Hoffman's big plan is wait for Katniss and Co. to turn on one another and then she'll be exposed. Seems like Katniss is, again, one step ahead of the mind games and the mental strategy of these Hunger Games. And I was pretty, at this point, it was a pretty long movie. I was pretty engrossed. I was pretty engaged. I was going, the board has been set for a pretty epic end of these Hunger Games. You've whittled down all the bad guys. It's now just the good guys. And let's see what happens when they turn on one another. Who's going to turn on who first? How's Katniss going to deal with this? I was on the edge of my seat to see an epic conclusion to these Hunger Games. Jonathan, take us down the next bit.
Well, I thought this was a pretty bad plan from Philip Seymour Hoffman because the thing with the wedding and the media, they have control over the media, how she's portrayed, and so they could break her image down to how they wanted. But here, he's relying on her betraying her allies. But Katniss is never going to betray her allies. And she knows what the position's going to be. She's a step ahead. So she says, let's get away. So it's not going to happen. And I think when the story takes that turn, I don't really know how you end the Hunger Games. Because if it's just her and allies left, they're not going to kill them. So do you just hide until the other people die? Like, something more interesting has got to happen. So the interesting thing that happens is that Katniss takes the wire that is meant to go from the tree to the beach to electrocute the other people. She attaches it to a bow, and there's all the tenseness of being separated from whoever, and she thinks this person's after them. But whatever, the point is that she's able to recognize that there's a finite distance to the top of the dome. She fired an arrow at it earlier. and she was able to recognize, I guess, the little shimmering because of Jeffrey Wright pointing out the electromagnetic whatevers to her earlier on. And so she attaches the wire to the arrow. The lightning strike comes down. Lightning moves pretty quickly. I would have thought that she might not time this well, but Katniss has reactions literally faster than lightning. Yeah. And she lets poof, and off it goes, and electric current, bam, into the top of the dome, and shuts down the whole Hunger Games. She destroys the whole fake dome apparatus setting and ruins the whole show. It just collapses.
Mm.
She was lucky not for none of that debris to kill any of them. There was a lot of huge bits of mangled wire falling down. But she seemed to survive to the end of the Hunger Games.
Not really the end of the Hunger Games. Like, they didn't really end.
Yeah, they did end. That was the end. They ended it.
Yeah, but a week. Like, no, there wasn't a winner.
That was
If you're a fan of the show, if you're watching this like you're watching, you know, a contest like Survivor or something, you're like, well, put them back in, build the thing again, fix it, get the broadcast working again. I want a winner. That's the point. You don't go to a rugby game for them to just call it off after 65 minutes. You want to see them win. You want to see who wins the title. Who survives?
I wanted to see someone in the Alliance turn on other people. I'm not saying I want to see Katniss. I didn't want to see Katniss. But what about one of the other guys?
I guess for Philip Seymour Hoffman's plan to work, Katniss had to turn first. But I guess if the other people turn first, I mean, Katniss and Peter have to survive because it's their story, it's their movie. And so I guess that they would either, if they just managed to defend themselves and win those battles when the other people turned on them, it'll be all right, but it'll be a bit boring. It'd be what you'd expect to happen, just be the same as last time. And you'd have the two of them be like, okay, there's us two. We're not going to kill each other. Standoff, same as last time. One of them could get killed in one of those battles. You're like, oh, no, Peter died. Just at the moment that she realized she loved Peter, Peter gets killed, and now she has to go back to Gale, but they can't now just happily be together because Peter just died. And at the moment that she realized she loved Peter, maybe they could have done that. Maybe that's what they could have done.
I think the move they did was good. I would have just liked it a little bit later in the game. I liked her destroying the thing and ending the games, but I think maybe have a few people in her alliance die before that happened, like a bit of a some people in the alliance turn on one another, just to get that bit of interest.
I think the problem is you like the Hunger Games. Like, you view the Hunger Games as like an amazing race or Survivor shows that you're a huge fan of. You're not supposed to like the Hunger Games. Hunger Games is a bloodthirsty, evil thing where they're making people kill each other for no reason other than political gain for the evil people in power.
Yeah. But I want to see, like, I don't know. I want to see some. Can I see the Hunger Games and the people in power get brought down? Can I have both? Anyway, Katniss gets taken up to a spaceship, and
the spaceship.
What is that?
It's the ship.
Flies around in space. Yes. So
they're not in space, but it does look like a spaceship.
So she gets taken to a spaceship, and she wakes up. She's on a drift or something. And then she overhears some talking, people arguing. She opens the door and bam, Hamish, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Peter?
Finnick. No, that's isn't there. He's in the capital.
Oh, yeah. Okay, he's sorry. Yeah, okay, yeah. Very good, Jess. Sorry. Sort of a week ago.
Gale was there, wasn't he? Was Gale there?
Gale, get out of it.
District 12 is gone.
Yeah, District 12's been destroyed, and they're going to District...
gone. Johanna's gone.
And they're going to District 13? Did I hear that?
Yes.
Okay.
And the head game maker organized it all.
Ha-ha! So, Jonathan, what was your thought on that final scene?
When I was first introduced to Philip Seymour Hoffman, I thought he was going to be a good guy. And then it made it look like he was a bad guy, and he just appeared good to maybe learn more about Katniss. But no, he was a good guy. He was working with them all along. And they're now taking Katniss to District 13, which I guess is what District 12 used to be, but then they wiped it out. But I guess something still remains, and they're going to it, because now District 12 has been wiped out. I guess that's the end of the film. Yeah, they got out of the Hunger Games, big dramatic thing. Now they're off to, I don't know what's going to happen in District 13, but something's going to happen where there's going to be finally a confrontation with the people in power. It's not going to be a little wheedling or how you appear in the media. It's going to be head-to-head from now on. Mm. And at that moment, it did kind of feel like a cliffhanger. Kind of felt like... Mm. But no, we're going to go to District 13 and see what happens, because the first film kind of felt like it had a resolution. Mm. This one didn't. But I think it's a testament to the film that you felt like there was more to go. After 2.5 hours, it still had the pace going. I still wanted to watch more. So even though it's a bit annoying that cliffhanger ending, the fact that, you know, it still had that momentum 2.5 hours in is thumbs up to the film.
Yeah, we complain about the length of films on this podcast quite a bit, and I actually didn't mind the length of this one at all, even though it's 2.5 hours. I was pretty enjoying the whole way through and didn't want to see. I could have had it go longer. Jess, this ending, I'm assuming for fans of the books, just as exciting, just as dramatic, just as game-changing. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it sets up the next third movie, and if I didn't already know what was happening, it would have me excited just to see how it plays out. Like, there's somebody going to this District 13 that they thought didn't exist. The head game maker of all people has been in on it, and Peter is not there. I thought it was good, and I liked when she went crazy at Hamish, and it was good.
Mm. Oh, man. Do you reckon when Phil Seymour-Hoffman made the clock spin around really fast and Katniss fell off into the thingy, like, after that, like, he was like, oh, thank goodness she didn't die.
Well, yeah, he stops it as soon as he sees her going.
Thank goodness she didn't hit her head on a rock when I did that. Because revolution over. Thing I've been working, yeah.
Remember how the smoke followed them for a while and they kind of fell down a thing and then the smoke just stopped?
Yeah.
Do you think that was him protecting them?
I think they went into the next bit of the clock.
Convenient. Convenient, because the smoke, it was just about to get them. It was nearly there.
And, like, the monkeys at a certain time, they go away, like, and it's like slices of a pie almost.
Mm. Yes. I'm a bit...
Sandwich. I should have put a pie in the oven. That's right.
Yes.
Famed Hunger Games lunch.
I bet you're eating it all. Is.
I'm just sorry that this Gale guy's rocked up on the spaceship just when... I don't know why he needs to be involved in this. But anyway.
This is the problem with the first film. They have not built him up enough to show why he's there for the next two films.
I know why he's there for the next... films to get in the way of Peter and Katniss. That's why he's there.
Maybe.
Bit of a dodge move. Although I guess since he was going out with Katniss before, I guess from his side of it, it'd be that Peter's made a move on his girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we don't know Gal. So, Jonathan, is there anything else we need to talk about with this, or do we go into our verdict?
I'm ready to give it a verdict.
Okay, so am I. Well, kick us off, Jonathan. Verdict away.
The Hunger Games, Catching Fire. I had expectations of 5.5 out of 10 based on the first film. And this time I enjoyed the pre-Hunger Games things a lot more. I think last time I just wanted to get to the Hunger Games. This time I was enjoying the political stuff. I thought the side characters were really entertaining. A lot of the performances and dialogue was pretty good. I mean, there's a couple of cheesy bits or a bit of things of exposition, but mostly I was enjoying it. And once we got into the Hunger Games, I don't know, the smoke and the baboons wasn't that exciting, but it was all right. And then Katniss bringing down the Hunger Games, destroying the whole set, the whole dome, was pretty dramatic. It did kind of then just end, but as I said, the fact that 2.5 hours in, I wanted more is a testament to the film. I'm definitely excited to see what's in District 13, how they're going to fight the powers that be, and what's going to happen between Katniss and Peter. I really have no investment in Gale, but Katniss and Peter, I want to see what happens. So I think this is a definite step up from the first film, and I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Okay, cool. The Hunger Games, All-Stars. It was pretty exciting. I really like the pre-game stuff too. I think they set up really well. Philip Seymour Hoffman, what an incredible addition to the cast, giving an incredible
good get. Role. Good get.
Yeah, very good get. You know, fantastic actor. Jeffrey Wright, not a bad get too. And then going to then the Hunger Games stuff was a little bit of time waste, I think, with baboons and smoke rather than actually people fighting, which is a bit more interesting. But still pretty compelling stuff, and I really enjoyed it. How good is Jennifer Lawrence? I know we say that whenever we do a Jennifer Lawrence film review, but this has to be one of the best actors going around. She's fantastic. And hot of her Oscar win, another stellar performance here from her. And I do think if it wasn't Jennifer Lawrence in that title role, the franchise would suffer. So I think that's a real testament. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. Mm. 8 out of 10. Jess?
Yeah, similarly, I really liked the beginning. I thought they developed the characters a lot more, so I really enjoyed that. Oddly enough, I actually felt it was a little long, but I don't actually know where you would cut it. Like, I thought all the parts were good. I just found myself a little bit feeling like it was long. I really like the supporting cast, particularly those in the Alliance, like the guy that played Finnick and then Jenna Malone. I thought they were really good. I think it was hard for Seymour Hoffman. I already knew that he was going to be turning, so maybe that spoiled that a bit. Yeah, like I think it was really good. I think it was, yeah, probably better than the first. I found the makeup really distracting on Katniss, and I know other people have said similar things. I think it's meant to be like the Capitol, but I found it really hard to not just think about that when looking at her, which seems odd, but other people have said the same thing. Yeah, I'd probably give it a 7.5.
Okay. Oh, I liked it the most.
Yeah.
Matt, the biggest Hunger Games fan.
Oh, man. And I was a bit frustrated at the end of that movie, too. But it is good. Jonathan, we'll have to go get Team Peter T-shirts for the next movie.
You can wear a Peter, like a shirt that has just says Peter with a thumbs up, and I'll wear Gale with a thumbs down.
Yeah, I like it. Now, Jess has to go, as usual, has to pop on off to work at the library.
As the old saying goes, a librarian's work is never done.
No, exactly.
Yes. So you can put that in the books.
And on that delightful note.
And on that, Jess, may your work at the library be ever in your favour.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. See ya.
Bye, Jess.
And as Jess leaves, to me putting up my three fingers at her. Yeah, Jonathan's doing it too. Okay. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. So now, okay, now the Hunger Games fan's gone. What do we really think?
It was bloated, obnoxious, predictable.
Oh, man. Boy, you know what, I think, like, you know how we always complain about movies breaking things up into, like, two movies, like Harry Potter Part 1, Harry Potter Part 2, Twilight Part 1, you know? Mm. I actually was thinking, watching Hunger Games, they could break up these books into two movies and do sort of, like, the pre-game movie and the Hunger Game movie.
I think if the film ended just before the Hunger Games, you'd be like, but I want to see the Hunger Games.
I think you release them about a month or two apart. I don't think you wait a whole year. Release it in September, people see the pre-games, then they're talking about it all October, and then they see how the games play out in November.
Well, I'm not sure if there's probably not going to be Hunger Games in the third movie, But I would say odds are that that's going to be a part one and part two. I feel like they're going to split that.
It is going to be part one,
they've
part two.
They've confirmed that, yeah.
Yeah, we're probably not going to see a Hunger Games. I think that could be the last ever Hunger Games.
Mm.
So they definitely ended with a bang.
Well, it's good that they got to 75. Yeah, if they'd have ended on 74, you'd have been like, oh, man, they were one away from 75.
Yeah, why didn't they do an All-Stars? Yeah. Oh, man, Donald Sutherland's going to be spewing.
Prediction, things don't end well for his character.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, because his name was President Snow or whatever, I feel like Katniss should have had a bit more fun with him. Like, maybe had a nickname for, like, called him Snowy and things. Like, I think that could have been interesting to see. Just, like, she acts really chummy with him. You know, like, and even just, like, she gets out there when, like, Stanley Tucci's interviewing her. And she just goes, he goes, oh, how are you enjoying your time in the capital? How are you enjoying your time in the capital, Katniss? She could go, oh, I was just chilling with Snowy. What a guy. What a guy, that president. He's such a sweet guy.
Yeah. It's like, I've just been chilling with President Snow. I think he's very cool.
Yeah. You know what he was just telling me? He was going to be giving aid to a District 11.
He won't be putting that on ice.
Yeah. Who is your MVP for the Hunger Games season?
Stanley Tucci.
Tucci, yes. Close Jennifer Lawrence, but I think Tucci a close second. And do we agree, Peter, most improved?
Yeah, big improvement from Peter. I didn't particularly care for him in the first games, first film, and now I like him. I'm prepared to wear a Gale Thumbs Down t-shirt.
Yeah, I want to see him get with Katniss now. I was very indifferent after the first movie.
So that's our take on the Hunger Games, All-Stars, Catching Fire, whatever it's called. We liked it. Mm. We thought it was a step up. I think housekeeping this week, we sort of double-barreled our podcast. We might have blown our housekeeping load in our Hello Ladies podcast. Matt, do you have any other updates?
No, and I don't think Stephen Merchant does either.
Stephen Merchant too. ran out of housekeeping news for Screen Verdicts. Next time you interview him, we'll see what his opinion is on the Hunger Games, perhaps.
Yes. Oh, well, so everyone have a fantastic time, and may the odds... Oh, no, I've used that way too many times.
May the rest of the day play out in your favour.
Yes.